VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America as we discuss a nation changing course. And that's exactly what is taking place right now. And it's changing course on so many different fronts. We're going to highlight several of those on the program here today. Western Journal indicating that an official Chinese government news source posted a tweet yesterday revealing that the communist regime was thrilled about President Joe Biden taking office. The news there posted an image of the U.S. Capitol with the words, "Good riddance, Donald Trump," just hours before the end of the Trump term. We're going to see some massive changes as it relates to communist China's influence here within the United States. By the way, Fox News's Daily Wire had a story. Fox News anchor Chris Wallace gushed over the inaugural address yesterday, going so far as to say that it was the best one that he has ever heard. Been listening to a lot, you know, since JFK, but he said, "I thought it was the best inaugural address I ever heard." Chuck Schumer, by the way, he became the new Senate Majority Leader. That is after the Vice President Kamala Harris swore in the two Georgia state senators. Chuck Schumer now in charge of the U.S. Senate as majority leader. And he's saying, "One of the first things I want to do when our new senators are seated is to deliver $2,000 checks to America's families. It's one of the first things we want to do since our new senators are seated. They campaigned on it," he said. And the New York Democrat said he plans to prioritize the deployment of the Chinese Communist Party virus vaccine, reports the Epoch Times. Very interesting observation that has come out of Las Cruces, New Mexico. LifeSiteNews.com has the story of a business law professor at New Mexico State University said that anyone who proposes that there is no evidence for massive election fraud in November's presidential election doesn't know what they're talking about. This is Professor David K. Clements, released a provocative video saying, "For those who believe there's no evidence, you don't know what you're talking about. I've reviewed hours upon hours of public hearings. I've read almost all of the lawsuits that are out there. Most of them were dismissed on legal process grounds. These suits," he said, "were dismissed due to a legal lack of standing. It's not because there isn't evidence. There is evidence," the professor emphasized. "In fact, I'm in possession of 574 pages of sworn affidavits, forensic reports, all of which would make it its way in a court of law under the rules of evidence in a federal or state court. The fact that the evidence has not been heard here by these courts should not be conflated into this idea that there's no evidence. The courts have done what they always do," Clements explained. "When you have political matters, they want them to be decided politically, not in a courtroom, but through the elections, through the state, but through the elections, through the state legislatures. However," he observed, "that the main problem was that, quote, we have a bunch of cowards. We have judges who are cowards. We have politicians that are cowards, and that's the reality." Very interesting as well, in an interview with MSNBC's Joy Reid yesterday, Daily Wire reports that the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, suggested that now former President Donald Trump could be held as an accessory to murder for instigating an insurrection at the United States Capitol. Can you believe this, folks? Hold him as an accessory to murder. She presided over a vote to impeach President Trump a second time, but has yet to send the articles of impeachment to the Senate for trial. That, we understand, could be happening just any day now. Also, we are finding that we'll get more about some of this violence issues. Also, from Western Journal, hundreds of publisher employees are working to block President Trump from yet another platform. They're trying to work together with publishers and writers, etc., to deny anybody working with him to publish a book. Very interesting indeed. So much for free speech. Well, I guess we already know about so much for free speech with Twitter and Facebook and all the other social media platforms as well. Joe Biden's national security team This is from OANN. Will reportedly take actions against domestic extremism in the wake of the Capitol Hill demonstrations, as well as ongoing threats to D.C. and state capitol buildings. During Senate confirmation hearings Tuesday, Biden's nominee for Director of National Intelligence, Arvil Haines, said she would draft a public report of the conspiracy theory QAnon, which has been labeled by the mainstream media as a cult and part of the fuel that led to the January 6th violence. Now, what's interesting, folks, is that very little of the media is calling attention to the violence that happened in this yesterday's Inauguration Day. But guess what? It's not in Washington, D.C., where there are some 25,000 National Guard troops. But as Bronson Stocking writes at townhall.com, Antifa thugs vandalized the Democratic Party of Oregon's office in Portland Wednesday. They said they recall that during the first presidential debate, Joe Biden claimed Antifa is an idea, not an organization. But as pointed out here at Fox News, police declared an unlawful assembly Wednesday night in Portland, Oregon. About 150 rioters caused damage to a federal immigration facility in the city, according to authorities. The unrest near the ICE building was declared after rioters started throwing rocks and eggs, vandalizing the building. And they said individuals were seen carrying pepper ball guns, electronic control weapons similar to stun guns, shields, fireworks, and rocks, adding that the federal law enforcement used crowd control munitions. Demonstrators were protesting against President Biden, and law enforcement carried a sign reading "Abolish ICE." Some of the demonstrations don't believe that President Biden is left enough. The only violence on Inauguration Day, as CNSNews.com points out, came from the far left. Yes, Portland and Seattle. Property damage, arrest, weapons seized, including Molotov cocktails, knives and batons, chemical spray, a crowbar. Social media and press reports noted the protesters were dressed in black, spray-painted an anarchist symbol over the Democratic Party sign. A group of 150 protested at the federal ICE building in Portland. Some of the crowd threw rocks at the building. Others were carrying the pepper ball guns and electronic control weapons, tasers, large fireworks, shields, rocks. Police did not say how many people were arrested at this melee. Isn't this interesting? Why is not the national media pointing this out and showing it hour after hour after hour? But here is something that has been revealed, and I don't think the national media is picking up on this either, as Pamela Geller points out, that the Antifa left-wing provocateurs caught in D.C., they have been caught, and video evidence has surfaced of the Antifa and left-wing provocateurs caught changing their wardrobe to Trump attire to blend in and incite riots at the Capitol protest. GellerReport.com has that information. Also, she has on her site as well the video that's emerged when this melee was happening at the U.S. Capitol. There's a video of a Trump supporter pleading with police, call for backup during this Capitol break-in. He said, "This is our Capitol. They're out for blood," the man screams. The police continue to stand back, just silently allowing the destruction to happen, even as pro-Trump individuals were saying, call for backup. Police refused to do it. Isn't that something? Totally defies the media's narrative in all of this. Well, several other things that have brought change. The Biden administration on Wednesday, the Washington Free Beacon reports, changed the U.S. ambassador to Israel's Twitter account name to read the official Twitter account of the U.S. ambassador to Israel, the West Bank and Gaza, walking back the Trump administration's pro-Israel policies. You see, the change in title marks a significant shift in policy toward Israel. By including Gaza and the West Bank in the ambassador's portfolio, the Biden administration appears to be determining that neither part is part of Israel, a move that's certain to rile the Israeli leadership. The incoming administration's move also signals that it will elevate the next ambassador's role to include conducting direct diplomacy with the Palestinian leaders, including in the Gaza Strip where Hamas terror group maintains control. This would be the only ambassador tasked with conducting diplomacy in a region controlled by a U.S.-designated terror group. During the Obama administration, former Ambassador Dan Shapiro was referred to in official communications as the U.S. ambassador to Israel. It's been the ambassador to Israel under Trump administration, but now a title change, the Twitter handle to Ambassador to Israel, the West Bank, and Gaza. Don Fetter, who's been with us here on Crosstalk, made some comments about this call for unity that we have so often heard from now President Joe Biden. But he said, unity used to mean uniting, coming together. Two groups would try to overcome their differences by finding common ground. But today it means one side rules and the other keeps its mouth shut and blindly follows while a chorus sings Kumbaya in the background. Calls for unity are meant to soothe the unwary into believing that a speaker is trying to find a way forward through goodwill and compromise. But nothing could be farther from the case. How does someone who believes in the Second Amendment compromise with demands for firearm confiscation? How does someone who believes America is a sovereign nation with borders compromise with amnesty mongers? How does someone who believes the unborn child is a human being that has rights and can feel pain compromise with one who thinks the mother's choice is all that matters, even when the infant is lying on the operating table? How does someone who supports the free market compromise with those who want a command economy? How does one who believes in a colorblind society compromise with those who think our problems are due to something called whiteness? A column by Don Fetter on this very issue. Well, as you heard yesterday, a caller, you know, said, give Joe Biden time. I mean, he's a good Catholic. He went to Mass yesterday. Well, you go to Mass in the morning, and then what do? You go ahead and you pave the way for funding abortions internationally. The Biden Presidential Inaugural Committee also listed Planned Parenthood and LGBT organization as beneficiaries of any donations made for flags that took the place of spectators on the National Mall. The Field of Flags, it was approximately 191,500 U.S. flags, different sizes, 56 pillars of light. Part of the inaugural theme, Americans United or America United. Americans were urged to become a symbolic sponsor of this Field of Flags for a donation to their partners. Well, do you know who the partners are? Donations to the 96 recipients or partners in service funneled to a number of organizations, including pro-abortion and LGBT policies, including abortion provider Planned Parenthood. Some of the groups were Stonewall Community Development Corporation, Rainbow Family 808 Com Incorporated, Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund, National Center for Lesbian Rights, The Trevor Project, Wanda Alston Foundation, Bradbury Sullivan LGBT Community Center, Howard Brown Health Center, Henderson Equality Center, Planned Parenthood Federation of America, LGBT Center of Greater Reading, Equality Maine Foundation, and GLAAD. Planned Parenthood issued a press release shortly after the election expressing great excitement at the prospect of a Biden-Harris administration, saying, "We can't contain our excitement that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris won the 2020 election. Here's to a new beginning." Planned Parenthood has champions in the White House, the abortion organization wrote. Our country's leaders once again understand, listen to this, they understand that abortion is health care. The story is in LifeSiteNews.com. Ladies and gentlemen, abortion is not health care. When you kill an innocent baby in the womb, it is not health care. Matter of fact, even last night, there was the first press conference being held, and the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki had a question posed of her that she kind of squirmed over. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back to that issue. And also, as we observe how a nation changes course as it relates to the LGBTQ plus issue. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, some animals have been around for a long time, haven't they?
Indeed they have, Chris. Actually, from a biblical perspective, when God created the various kinds of animals in Genesis 1, he intended those kinds to survive and continue into the present. Some have gone extinct and some have adapted and changed somewhat, but the basic kinds are still the same. Evolutionists, on the other hand, are confused by what they call persistent fossils, where one organism in the fossil record dated at millions of years old is identical to the same organism alive today. This lack of change is not what evolution would predict. Examples of persistent fossils are numerous, including the horseshoe crab and the ant, etc., etc. Face it, Chris, evolution doesn't happen, but creation, now that did happen back in Genesis.
For more on creation, visit our website at icr.org.
Nation Changes Course, our topic here today on Crosstalk. Yes, indeed, the new press secretary for the president, Jen Psaki, clearly stumped during the administration's first White House press briefing. She was asked about Joe Biden's stance on abortion and whether or not he would support the Hyde Amendment, barring taxpayer funds from being used for abortion that would be here domestically. The press secretary shifted focus to the president's religion as an answer, saying, quote, "I will take the opportunity to remind all of you that he is a devout Catholic, is somebody who attends church regularly. He started his day attending church with his family this morning," Psaki said. "I don't have anything more for you." Well, he has repeatedly flopped on the Hyde Amendment when it's politically convenient for votes he has taken previous. But folks, you know what also happened yesterday? Yesterday, as that oath of office was taken, you know, there's just a switchover that happens, even of the White House website, whitehouse.gov. Right away, the contacts page was updated to include transgender pronouns. Just hours within the swearing-in, the official White House contact page had already been updated to ask users to indicate preferred general pronouns. Another early gift to LGBT activists. Among the White House website contact page's usual fields, like for your name, prefix, phone number, and so forth, is a now a pronouns field with options she, her, he, him, they, them, other, and prefer not to share. As Newsmax points out, the update was made to embrace transgender ideology. According to the official LGBT organization GLAAD website, it's increasingly common for people who have a non-binary gender identity and or gender expression to use they, them as their pronoun. Other White House website changes included an updated priorities page that now lists COVID-19, climate, racial equality, economy, healthcare, immigration, restoring America's global standing, per CBS News. On his very first day in office, Biden signed a radically divisive executive order mandating the transgender agenda. Here's what it says. Children should be able to learn without worrying about whether they will be denied access to the restroom, the locker room, or school sports. People should be able to access health care and secure a roof over their heads without being subjected to sex discrimination. Well, here's what that means. Boys who identify as girls must be allowed to compete in the girls' athletic competitions. Men who identify as women must be allowed in women-only spaces. Healthcare plans must pay for gender transition procedures. Doctors and hospitals must perform then. Doesn't that sound unifying? And that's what virtually those words are meaning. The Alliance Defending Freedom issued a statement, their legal counsel, Christina Holcomb, in regard to the executive order released yesterday that instructs federal agencies to reinterpret federal laws and regulations that prohibit sex discrimination, including Title IX, to include gender identity so that women and girls are no longer protected in sports or in locker rooms and in other contexts. Here's a statement. Unfortunately, the Biden administration wasted no time in demanding policies that got legal protections for women by denying female athletes fair competition in sports, ignoring women's unique health needs, and forcing vulnerable girls to share intimate spaces with men who identify as female. Under a similar policy, ADF is challenging. In Connecticut, two males identifying as girls have taken 15 women's state championship titles, depriving numerous female athletes of medals, advancement opportunities, and fair competition. This isn't equality and it isn't progress. President Biden's call for unity falls flat when he seeks to hold these receiving federal funds hostage if they don't do tremendous damage to the rights, opportunities, and dignity of women and girls. Americans deserve better than this new administration's swift and ill-considered effort to wipe out longstanding protections for women and girls. Also, as LifeSiteNews.com reports, here's another reversal of legacy with the reversal of President Trump's so-called transgender troop ban. Soon to follow. In the coming days and weeks, we'll be announcing additional executive orders confronting these challenges, delivery on the president-elect's promises, now president, to the American people, said Jen Psaki, noting that the actions would include allowing gender-confused soldiers to serve openly in the military, rescindment of the Mexico City policy, allowing foreign aid to directly fund abortion once again. Friends, you may not be aware, but last night, there was an LGBTQ inaugural event. Did you know that? Last night, there was an LGBTQ inaugural event. You know, everything was virtual last night. And to my knowledge, this was the first time ever. President Joe Biden had a statement that he spoke on that. But I'm also going to share with you some statements that were said. This one from Nancy Pelosi, speaking to the LGBTQ audience.
As House Speaker, it is my privilege to join the great Alfonso David and the advocates of the Human Rights Campaign to celebrate the historic inauguration of President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. We are thrilled also to acknowledge our brilliant First Lady, Dr. Jill Biden, and our new second gentleman, Doug Emhoff. In the 2020 election, the American people delivered a transformational, unified, democratic government. One committed to advancing justice and building back better. Across the country, the LGBTQ community came together in record numbers to organize, mobilize, and make the difference. Because of you, we elected leaders who believe in and will fight for the bedrock values of equality and justice. I am proud to say that the Biden-Harris administration will be the most pro-equality administration ever. And they will have a strong partner in our Democratic House majority, which is now nearly 70% women, people of color, and LGBTQ. Together, we will build on our success, including by once more passing the Equality Act so that it can finally become the law. We must fully end LGBTQ discrimination once and for all. On behalf of the Congress, thank you, HRC, for your partnership as we work to build a brighter, more just and equal future for all. Now, let's get to work.
Yeah, now let's get to work. She says, now, again, as according to Robert Knight, who's been with us, the Equality Act is, it could be renamed the Criminalizing of Christianity Act, because that's what we'll do. It targets religious ministry. It targets churches. No religious exemptions whatsoever. Well, the new majority leader, Chuck Schumer, also spoke to the LGBTQ inaugural event last evening.
Hi, everyone. This is Senator Chuck Schumer. I'm so excited to join you in celebrating, finally, the inauguration of President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. Mr. President and Madam Vice President, congratulations. And congratulations as well to our new First Lady, Dr. Jill Biden, and to our nation's second gentleman, Doug Emhoff. And of course, I want to thank my dear friend for many years, HRC President Alfonso David, for his great and incredible leadership, as well as all of HRC's incredible volunteers across the nation. Thank you for helping elect what will be the most pro-equality administration in our nation's history. Thank you to the LGBTQ community for turning out in record numbers to secure a Democratic majority in both the House and the Senate. For years, the LGBTQ community has been essential in supporting pro-equality candidates, and we couldn't have won in 2020 without you. You knocked on hundreds of thousands of doors, made over a million phone calls, kept the engine of our democracy going, even during the pandemic. Because of you, and because I am now majority leader, we can take action on the Equality Act in the Senate, which McConnell had bottled up. And we will work as hard as we can to finally pass this into law. You made it possible. Congratulations on this victory. Let's continue the great work so full equality comes to the LGBTQ community and to all of America.
There were numerous other speakers. For instance, open lesbian senator from Wisconsin, Tammy Baldwin, spoke, and Mark Pocan, open homosexual as well. spoke and numerous other individuals did. We understand, according to the address itself and the virtual event, a generous sponsor for this night was Marriott. And the CEO of Marriott, Arnie Sorensen, also spoke at this virtual event.
Good evening and happy inauguration day. I'm delighted to be celebrating this special occasion with you, the first virtual Human Rights Campaign inaugural ball. Even though we can't be together physically, it feels great to be gathered together virtually. At Marriott, we have long believed in welcoming all. It's in our corporate DNA and is really the very definition of hospitality. We believe in the very simple idea that we all deserve equality of opportunity and equality of treatment under the laws of the land. No matter your sexual identity, your race, your economic status, even your politics, this idea of equality and inclusion is the only way to create a world where all of us can truly belong. The late John Lewis once said, "Nothing can stop the power of a committed and determined people to make a difference in our society." I believe he was right. And tonight we honor those words by proudly joining with a human rights campaign in working to make that difference. Wherever your travels take you in this hopeful new year, all of us at Marriott look forward to opening our doors to give you the warmest welcome. Best wishes to all of you in 2021.
That was Marriott CEO Arnie Sorensen, which, again, as they attributed at the end, that a generous sponsor for their LGBTQ inaugural ball was Marriott. That's according to their claims with part of their virtual event last evening. Well, the Human Rights Campaign is applauding what they're calling the most LGBTQ inclusive inaugural prayer service in U.S. history. The Human Rights Campaign responded to news from the Presidential Inaugural Committee in Washington National Cathedral that the virtual presidential inauguration prayer service for Thursday, January 21st, will include two transgender faith leaders and other notable LGBTQ faith leaders. Saying President Alfonso David, who is president of HRC, said President-elect Biden's commitment to inclusion and mirroring the true image of America in the new administration shines through powerfully in the historic LGBTQ inclusive prayer service. The service reflects a critical change in tone away from the cynical use of religion and faith as weapons of division against the LGBTQ community and instead towards tools of service in the work of justice and inclusion. Elevating the voices of LGBTQ faith leaders sends a strong message to the LGBTQ community that we are integral parts of faith communities and that our continued advocacy for equity is crucial for the work of healing the soul of America. That is Alfonso David. Well, in a historic move, HRC reports that two transgender faith leaders, get that, two transgender faith leaders participating in the presidential inaugural prayer service. There's the Reverend Dr. Paula Stone Williams, author and pastor of Left Hand Church, and Barbara Satin, faith work director, the National LGBTQ Task Force. The prayer service also including other what they call trailblazing LGBTQ faith leaders, including Reverend Fred Davey, executive vice president of Union Theological Seminary, Reverend Dr. Yvette Flunder, presiding bishop of the Fellowship of Affirming Ministries, and Rabbi Sharon Kleinbaum, senior rabbi, Congregation of Beit Simchat Torah. The dynamic program, which will be the most LGBTQ inclusive inaugural prayer service in history, will include prayers, readings, blessings, and hymns from interfaith leaders, celebrated artists, and other inspiring voices. We've got to take a break. I'll have a few more stories here on Crosstalk when we return as a nation changes course.
From the invention of writing, this world has been mostly ruled by kings. Power which concentrates into the hands of one person often rewards his friends, though, and punishes his enemies. The King of England was the most powerful king this planet had seen. So when Americans got the chance, they set up a government as far from a king as possible. A republic where the people are king, ruling through their representatives. How do republics rise and fall? How did 45 countries fall to communist dictators? Are these tactics used in America today? These and other issues are addressed in the book, Who is the King in America? By William Federer. This book provides the reader with an overview of 6,000 years of history and why America is unique. Discover the keys to preserving the freedoms of America's Republic. Who is the King in America? It's available for a donation of $18 or more. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today, A Nation Changes Course. Thank you for joining us. As we continue, Family Research Council also warning about the executive order demanding that all federal agencies redefine sex to include sexual orientation, gender identity. Well, Tony Perkins said this, President Biden's executive order effectively targets people of faith and faith-based organizations that provide social services that are even more vital in the midst of a pandemic. Now, those who hold to biological reality and the doctrines of the world's major religions will be forced to violate their consciences or even lose a government contract. Ultimately, if this executive order is able to be fully carried out, it will affect everyday Americans who hold biblically and conservative values. In his inauguration speech yesterday, President Biden called for unity, but he is now demanding uniformity. Interesting statement indeed. Well, as we learned from CNSNews.com, President-elect Joe Biden, as then President-elect, now President, nominated Pennsylvania Health Secretary Rachel Levine to be Assistant Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services Tuesday. If approved, Levine would become the first openly transgender Senate-confirmed federal official, The Hill reports. Levine is a pediatrician, former Pennsylvania Physician General, appointed by Democratic Governor Tom Wolf in 2017, making Levine one of the few transgender people serving the elected or appointed positions nationwide. If confirmed, Levine would serve under the California Attorney General Becerra, who was nominated last month as HHS Secretary. Also going on is the one that is being appointed here as well. This would be Antony Blinken is the nominee for the ambassadorial level, including Secretary of State. Antony Blinken told his confirmation hearing in the Senate on Tuesday that the administration will ensure that U.S. embassies may once again fly the gay pride flag, the story says. Let's just hear a little bit of that testimony as the questions were asked. This would be the Antony Blinken.
As you know, the Trump administration rolled back much of the United States' previous efforts to support and promote LGBTI rights around the world. And I'm thrilled that you and President-elect Biden have indicated that you're going to support and appoint a new special envoy for human rights on LGBTI people, a position that I've been pushing to make permanent through my International Human Rights Defense Act, but which was left vacant in the Trump years. After 4 years of Trump administration efforts to specifically marginalize, minimize, do damage to the rights of the LGBTI people, I think it's going to be vital to appoint a seasoned expert on those issues. Are you going to move forward towards a speedy appointment towards an LGBTI envoy, and would you consider raising it to ambassadorial level?
Questions is yes, absolutely. This is a matter, I think, of some real urgency. We've seen violence directed against LGBTIQ people around the world increase. We've seen, I believe, the highest number of murders of transgender people, particularly women of color, that we've seen ever. And so I think the United States playing the role that it should be playing in standing up for and defending the rights of LGBTQI people is something that the department is going to take on immediately.
Thank you. And will you repudiate the findings of the report of the Commission on Unalienable Rights and reaffirm the United States' acceptance and adherence to the human rights laid out in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights? And will you ensure that ambassadors are able to fly the Pride flag at our embassies once again around the world?
Yes to both.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Okay, so that was in the hearings that just occurred in the Senate. This is Antony Blinken, Senate confirmation hearings held on Tuesday. His confirmation will have to go before the full U.S. Senate. I do not know when this is slated to take place, but certainly will appoint a LGBTI envoy. Will allow the homosexual pride flag to fly over U.S. embassies as well. Again, a nation changes course. The position's totally contrasted from what has been true for the last 4 years. Also, we learn, Western Journal, that the executive order to rescind the permit for TC Energy to build Keystone XL pipeline may be the largest hit to the economy, costing as many as 11,000 Americans their jobs, including 8,000 union positions. Just think of that, folks. With one signature from the pen to just like that, lose as many as 11,000 jobs, 8,000 union positions. The project would have injected $1.6 billion in gross wages into the U.S. economy, reports Western Journal, in 2021 at a time when jobs are most needed. The Wall Street Journal reported that the president signed an executive order to kill the pipeline on Wednesday. According to Fox Business, a $9 billion project was more than 10 years in the making, would have spanned over 1,200 miles to send nearly 833,000 barrels of crude oil per day from Alberta, Canada to Nebraska. One signature erases that. Newsmax.com said that the plans also Wednesday for a temporary moratorium on oil and gas leasing in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge after the Trump administration issued leases in part of the refuge considered sacred by some. The agency held that the first lease sale for the refuge's coastal plain January 6, 8 days later. Alice Wolter said it signed leases for 9 tracts totaling nearly 685 square miles. The issuance leases was not announced publicly until Tuesday, President Donald Trump's last full day in office. Also, the Biden administration was expected to disband the 1776 Commission on its first day executive order as a means to advance racial equality. The commission was created to teach patriotic education, to counter the notion that the U.S. is irredeemably and systemically racist, was to be abandoned because it had sought to erase America's history of racial injustice, the Biden-Harris transition team said in a statement that was given. The Daily Signal said that this disbanding of the 1776 Commission shows the left's war on U.S. history. The chairman, Larry Arnn, president of Hillsdale College, member of the Heritage Board of Trustees, issued a statement. And along with others, saying a return to the unifying ideas stated in the Declaration of Independence, it quotes the greatest Americans, black and white, men and women, in devotion to these ideas. The commission may be abolished, but these principles cannot be. We will all continue to work together to teach and to defend them. Executive orders, either signed yesterday or coming, some today promised on the pandemic, immigration-related issues, putting a stop to the building of the wall. Lord willing, on Monday, we'll be dealing with the having the Center for Immigration Studies on with us here on Crosstalk, and we'll be talking more on immigration-related issues, but climate change, LGBTQ equality, the economy, government accountability, on. The listing of quick actions being taken through the new Biden administration as a nation changes course. I'd like to open our phone lines here today for your comments on these issues. Our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Did we mention, folks, the importance of praying for our nation, be praying for our leaders, be praying that those issues that violate the principles of God's word be stopped, that they be hampered in the carrying out of these very issues? Important matters. You know, there are a number of legislators connected to sent a letter to President Biden pleading with him not to stop this Keystone XL. Even Canada, a liberal Canada, upset about these actions as well, taking place from the pen of President Joe Biden. And then I saw this was rather interesting from Western Journal here today. Actually, it came out yesterday afternoon. A report says that an aide reveals worrying instance of Biden forgetting his own words. Politico reported Tuesday. The article by national correspondent Natasha Korecki, published a day before the inauguration, seems to underscore a genuine concern among many both inside and outside of Washington that and I'm quoting directly from the story, the 78-year-old has lost a step or two mentally. Korecki described the speechwriting process for Biden, who has been dogged by speculation about his cognitive health, as one that was cumbersome for those assigned the task during the 2020 campaign. While Biden did not do a lot of public speaking throughout his campaign, what little stumping he participated in was often filled with gaffes, as well as some behind-the-scenes drama, according to Korecki. Writing a speech for Biden can be difficult. They use other language there, and this was before the inaugural, she said, but worrying that the president's forgetting his own words. Let's go to the phone lines here today. In Milwaukee, Fabrizio, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello, brother. Thank you so much for the truth that this organization brings to a dark world. And, you know, I kind of know the answer to this question, but I'd like to hear it from you. And with the success of the stolen election and everything going on now, we know that when communist leaders are in, there's no such thing as freedom and freedom of speech anymore. And this is something that us Americans should never have to ever fathom. What's the likelihood of the organization of VCY and the podcast of Crosstalk and Worldview Weekend and things like this being deemed illegal? And because the Bible says that if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's still a lot we can do if the Lord tarries, but it's very disheartening, to say the least. And I just ask, what should our response be to the tyranny?
Well, certainly, thank you for the call. Certainly, we seek to, number one, commit matters in prayer to the Lord, but number two is to resist this in the form of standing up and speaking out against these issues. Legislators who, and I understand, what is it, one of the states, I believe it's in Arizona, putting forth legislation to reform, you know, to make amends to the whole election processes that are going on within the states as well, to be sure that, that there are laws that are put into place. Now, it's just disconcerting because even in places where there are laws, but the enforcement mechanism was not there. And that's why it's no wonder why George Soros was putting huge funds into having district attorneys and attorney general races won, so that there would not be enforcement of laws that the left would not want to see enforced. So there are many issues that are involved there, but certainly we need certainly believers in Christ to be active at the polls, to run for office, to let their voices be heard, to take a stand for truth, a stand for freedom, a stand for religious values. And we certainly don't know how long we have this freedom in this land. We've taken a lot for granted. But while we have it, we need to be advancing the gospel here very, very much. Thank you for the call. We're going to move on to Russell in St. Mary's, West Virginia. You're on the air.
I'd like to congratulate fraudulent-elect Joe Biden, and I'd like to congratulate all those self-proclaimed Christians out there, that, like the one you had called in, said he hated Donald Trump so much that he was just going to have to hold his nose on the whole issue of abortion. And welcome to Sodom and Gomorrah. And the direction we're headed, look down.
Thank you for your comments here. And truly sad commentary for where things are in our nation right now as a nation changes course. Folks, continue to be a light. You see, the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. And certainly, what a time to let your light shine for Jesus. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Well, it looks like we're just hours from a new administration, the Biden administration. What can we expect? Well, we don't have to guess. Secular Democrats have already put out a report, 25 pages, not very long. But what do they cite as their main target in a Biden administration? Conservative people of faith. They openly talk about using a Biden administration to decide who is a legitimate nonprofit church and who is not. And how will they decide that? Based on whether or not you teach a Judeo-Christian worldview in the area of public policy. In fact, the report says they do not want Joe Biden or any of his administration representatives using the term "In God We Trust" or Judeo-Christian. My friends, we're in perilous times, as the Bible forewarned.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, giving you opportunity to speak out on these issues here today. We're going next to New Berlin. David, you're on the air.
Yes, when you had the excerpt from Chuck Schumer's talking to the LBG or whatever that's called. Anyway, I don't think he was politically correct, because I think Joe Biden would be the first person, and Kamala Harris's husband would be the second gentle person. I say that in jest. I hope you realize that.
I do. And you're right, because, I mean, even Nancy Pelosi, I mean, one of the first acts was, you know, that they could not use terms like mother, father, sister, brother, son, daughter. And yet she talked about her, she violated her own order by talking about being a mother and grandmother.
Oh, boy. We got to laugh about something.
Yeah.
God be with you.
Thank you for the call, David. Terry in Danville, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for being there and addressing all these topics. My question is, if you are familiar with something called the Swift's Gay Manifesto from back in the 80s.
Yes, yes.
Is that not word for word come forward and manifested itself even worse than the manifesto called for? And the other thing, we should not be surprised. There's a quote by Alexander Trachtenberg at the International Gathering of Nazis in 1944 in Madison Square Garden. I suggest you look that up. We knew it was coming as Christians, as Americans, as patriots. And what you have suggested about each of us finding out where God can use us, whether it's on a school board or a city council. Thankfully, there may be hope in 34 different states that have Republican legislatures. We'll see how that works. But thank you for being there.
Thank you, Terry. Appreciate the call. Yeah. And indeed, yeah, that Michael Swift article, it was read right into the Congressional Record, and gay revolutionary who laid out the Gay Manifesto. It's amazing, folks. Now, back then, I remember reading this years ago on the air, and they said, no, that's just satire, just tongue-in-cheek. But folks, virtually every sentence in that Gay Manifesto has come to pass, even as that last caller had just stated. George in Olney, Illinois, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. We as Americans witnessed during or after the president took his oath of office, and I'm using the word president loosely, wasn't there an unmasked kiss among several or among him and the person that administered that oath?
I don't recall that, George.
Okay. Well, I saw it and I thought to myself, somebody's going to get COVID.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, one of the executive orders, you know, was this mask mandate on all federal property. But last night, as he went to the Lincoln Memorial, there he was found maskless, standing there as he's listening to music. And then members of the Biden family, I think it was grandchildren that were there, all standing together side by side, no social distancing, none with a mask on as well. So they also were violating that federal mandate that went out yesterday. Thanks for the call. Penny in West Bend, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Just a quick comment. I mean, I think following up on the last gentleman's even point, that I heard on another talk show that the environment there at the Capitol yesterday and with all the military presence seemed very almost totalitarian.
Yeah.
There was no extra people. There was no excitement. There was no, I mean, where was all the pomp and circumstance? And so that wasn't there yesterday. That's kind of a frightening thought. And then just a quick, another quick comment is we really see their priorities, don't we? Right off the bat, we're seeing their sexual perversions being, again, pushed on the American people that we need to accept this, and then their love for abortion.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, something else that's just very noteworthy as well. I mean, did you see all the fencing up and barricades all around D.C. and at the National Mall and other places? I mean, all of that? You say we need that for security. Then why don't we need that at our nation's borders? Why don't we need it at our borders? No, stop the building of the fence. We got to stop doing that. Got to stop building the border wall. Yet, what did they do in Washington? They started putting up fencing everywhere. Let's go to Tennessee. Barry, you're on the air.
Yes. Do we really think that God's not aware of what's going on and was not able to stop any of this? Do we really not? Has anybody ever really thought that maybe God is permitting this?
Mm-hmm.
People say that, well, God's going to judge this country for all that homosexuality and that promiscuousness. Don't you realize that is the judgment of God in all civilizations that have ever fallen? That was the last give up of God. We're in the last give up of God right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, people don't realize it, but judgment is going to come to the house of God first because the church has failed to preach the uncompromised gospel. They've been more concerned about dollars and numbers than they have been about preaching the uncompromised gospel. We've been on a religious holiday. They've driven a stake in the ground and danced around the peripheral golden calf for years. And this is what God is trying to get, has tried for years to get the attention of the church. The only thing that's going to stop anything close to this is the church is actually getting on their face, pastors getting up repenting and saying, God, forgive me for not preaching your uncompromised word. And people getting on their face before God in the church, people call themselves Christians, And repenting and asking God to forgive them. Let me tell you something. I had a dream that come to me the other day when I was in bed. And it came to me, and God showed me that most of the people, when the rapture happens, the people that are going to be left behind, or most of the people in the churches are going to be left behind because they failed. And those are going to be the ones that have to go through the tribulation. And the only way they're going to make it is to be beheaded is what the Lord said.
Yeah, no, thank you, Barry, for your thoughts here. And indeed, as we go back to Scripture, we see, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and heal their land. You're right. Judgment does begin at the house of the Lord. And there is going to be a surprise coming one day because there are tares that are growing amidst the wheat. And there is going to be a reckoning that happens one day as far as that is concerned. But indeed, there does need to be a internal inspection that's done in the heart of each and every individual. And I agree with you as well. Not just that judgment is coming. There's more judgment to come, but what we are seeing itself is judgment itself. In Romans 1, where it says, and God gave them over. God gave them over. That giving over is a judgment from God. Thank you for your call. I apologize to others that are holding, but we have run out of time here in the program. But yeah, God is certainly in control. His ways will not be thwarted, folks. And I've read the end of the book. Have you? And we can look forward to that glorious end. But until that time, friends, as Jesus said, occupy till I come. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.